ோ நம ஹரி ஓம் கணா கணபதி ஹவாமகே கவிம் கவீனாமுபமஸ்தனோதிசீதசாதனம் ஸ்ரீமகாணாதிபதயே நம சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். அவ்யக்தாத்வ்யக்தயஸ் ஸர்வாஹ ப்ரபவந்த்யஹராகமே ராத்ரியாகமே ப்ரலீயந்தே த்ரைவாவ்யக்தசௌஜ்ஞகே. So the creator's daybreak and the creator's going into sleep, that is how Ahoratra is being described. So you see, when the creator is sleeping, what happens to the creation? It must have resolved in him. And when the creator wakes up, so the entire creation comes into place. That's why he is called creator. In fact, we can easily understand this concept. We can know it very well by looking at our own situation. So this is called a Nitya Srishti, Nitya Pralaya. Everyday creation and everyday annihilation. So, but to understand that concept, you have to first clear a few points. That is, as long as you think that there is a world, and in that world there is a body, and in that body I am. As long as you think like this, you are not going to understand this concept. You know why? Because all that is wrong. That's why. Suppose there is a world, and in that there is a body, and in it you are, then what Vedanta you are studying? Is it Vedanta? You need any Vedanta for that thing? A child knows it, right? Now, Vedanta puts everything ulta. That is what Vedanta is. It is like sun rises in the east and sets in the west, going round the sun, running round the earth. This is Loka Drishti. Then what is Shastra Drishti? Full ulta, total ulta. There is no rise and set for the sun. Sun is not going round the earth. It is the earth which is going round the sun. Ulta, pura. Similarly, here also, there I am. The I amness comes first, not the world. First world comes, then the body comes, then I enter into it. It's not like that. You might say like that in a different context, but first I amness comes. And following the I amness comes the body. And then immediately the body identified ego, and then the world. There are three things: the ego, the body, and the world. All the three are always together. Either you have all the three or you have none. Because you cannot have a wave without ocean and a ocean. You cannot have a wave without ocean. Leave it there. That is enough. Similarly, you cannot have a body without the world. In fact, in the case of the body, you can also say you cannot have a world without the body. You can say that. You cannot have a world without the body, and you cannot have a body without the world, and you cannot have the body and the world without the body identified ego. All the three rise together and sink together. And so, when I wake up, the I amness, followed by the body with which the I amness identifies wrongly by habit, and then the body is a small part of the whole world. All the three come. So this is how from the avyakta, the vyakta comes. Avyaktat vyaktayas sarvaha. You see, vyaktayaha means not vyaktas. Vyaktis it is. Harihi hari harayaha. Right? Vyaktihi vyakti vyaktayaha. It is not the plural of vyakta. It is the plural of vyakti. That means what? Avyakta to vyakta and vyakta to vyakti. That is the sequence. So, I am sleeping. Everything is unmanifest. Unmanifest is not absolute. It is relative. So, unmanifest is relative to manifest. Earlier it was manifest. Now it has become unmanifest. And now it again it will become manifest. Nirguna to saguna, saguna to nirguna. Then what is Ishvara? Parabrahman. I mean, sometimes the word Ishvara is used to mean saguna. That's why I hesitated. You may use Ishvara to mean saguna, or sometimes you may as well use Ishvara to mean that reality which transcends these relative things called saguna, nirguna. A pair of opposites it is. So, saguna, nirguna. Nirguna becomes the saguna. Saguna resolves in the nirguna. The being finds activity in becoming, or finds fulfillment in becoming. And the becoming discovers peace in being. So if you want peace, be. If you want fulfillment, fulfillment means what fulfillment? The world kind of thing it is. So become. Becoming resolve, becoming discovers its peace in the being, unmanifest. The unmanifest finds its fulfillment in the manifest, which is becoming. So first unmanifest, that is the sleep state. Svapavastha Shankara Prajapateha Svapavastha Avyaktam. The Avyakta that we are talking here is the sleep state of the creator. And suppose you are the creator also, you know, you are a creator of a kind. We are all creators in our own right, really. In dream we create a world. We think that in waking state somebody else creates the world. In the waking state also, you create the world. And you say, my home, who created that, my home? You created, right? Yeah. So, if ego is removed, it is neither my nor home. You don't think that I will keep home intact and only remove my. I will remove both. Really. It is neither my nor home. But it is the ego which comes and makes it my and home after separating it from the whole. So we create the world in which we live. We think that the world in which we live somebody else has created. And then ask the question, why should he create like this? You tell me, why? Because you created with your imagination, so you imagine better. So the creation is now better. Why not imagine better? If only you have to dream, but you may as well dream better than dream in a worse way. So I am. As I wake up, so in Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful verse, I only remember a small part of it. So, supta prabodhayo sandhau, atmanaha gatihi, atmano gatim atmadrik, something like that. One should be atmadrik. One should be contemplating upon the pratyagatma. That is what you have to do. What is there to contemplate upon the world? So, you have to contemplate upon the atma. As part of that contemplation, I explore the junction, sandhi, the twilight zone between the sleep and the waking state. Supta prabodhayoho sandhau. In that sandhi is the junction. In that junction, so I am neither asleep, totally deep sleep, it is avyakta, totally awake. That is the vyakta and vyakti. There is a transition, avyakta to vyakta. So, you become alert and you become aware of nothing in particular, just aware. Nothing in particular. Particulars will come later. So, particular is called vyakti. So, you become aware. Manifest consciousness. And this manifest consciousness alone becomes the consciousness of flower, consciousness of the crystal, consciousness of book, etc. So, avyakta and manifest, and then vyakti. The the unmanifest state, which is the seed state, which is the sleep state, it becomes, as the mind opens up, it is like opening the door of mind to the sun of Atman. So as that happens, so what is all there in the mind, in the seed form, all that blossoms. And now you have the manifest consciousness. This manifest consciousness has a content. And the content of the manifest consciousness is plural. And that's why it is called vyaktayaha. Many. Vyaktayas sarvaha. So when I wake up, so pushpa vyakti, flower is a vyakti. Vyakti means an item. Vyakti means an item. Pushpa vyakti, pasu vyakti, pustaka vyakti, table vyakti, bharya vyakti, putra vyakti, patni vyakti, all vyaktis. All these will come. Vyakti means an item, living or non-living, whatever. So all these items, they come out. And before the waking up, where were they? In the mind. This is something amazing. That means, so when I say flower, I am conscious of flower. So that is called flower consciousness. So this flower consciousness, where from it has come? It came from flower. How flower consciousness can come from flower? Consciousness flows from within to without or from without to within? It flows from within to without, you know. So flower consciousness cannot come from flower. Flower consciousness comes from within. So inside the unmanifest consciousness has this flower consciousness. That's why when you wake up, you become conscious of the flower. Right? But we think it is all ulta. Right? Suppose the unmanifest, the seed mind doesn't have flower in it. You will become conscious of flower next day morning. Suppose the seed mind has, it doesn't have a wife in it. The next day morning he becomes conscious of wife. No? The seed mind has wife, therefore he becomes conscious of wife. If the seed mind has ex-wife, then he becomes conscious of ex-wife only. He doesn't become conscious of wife. So like that, whatever is there in the seed mind, that alone comes out. So the whole world is a blossoming, an expansion of the mind. So avyakta, and that manifest consciousness has a content. And that content is plural, nana. Really it is not there. Neha nanasti kinchana. The manifest consciousness appears as nana, as plural. Therefore, this vyakta, this is how it is happening. Same thing is happening in the case of at the macro level. Just I gave the micro level as an example. So come to the macro level. Now you can understand the universe is in the imagination of the creator, right? Like even my home is in my imagination. Similarly, the entire universe is an imagination or an idea of Hiranyagarbha. This is how the Shastras have presented it, really. That's why this is there is a Bishop Berkeley who also says similar things. He talks similar things. He uses the word God in the place of in the place of Hiranyagarbha. Fair enough. So anyway, from the unmanifest state of Hiranyagarbha, the manifest state, which is the entire creation, originates. And it contains many vyaktis. Avyakta to vyakta, which contains a plurality of vyaktis. Sarvaha vyaktayaha prabhavanti. So this is what is called the waking state. That's why aharagame. So Shankara, vyaktayaha sthavara jangama lakshanaha. So when I wake up and look around, there are a few things that remain stable, static, like home. It is static, apparently static. And then people and other things moving around, so moving. That is jangama. Sthavara and jangama. So that is how it appears. And sthavara is also a vyakti, an item. Jangama, the moving, is also an item. And these items are, the problem is, if you look at flower as an object and then characterize it as an object, also call it solid object. So if white is solid object, because I touch it. At one time in the history of mankind, so an object was initially defined as what you know by touch. Touch is important, not seeing. Touch. Suppose you see a person's photo, you don't call it a person. Whereas you touch a person, then it is a real person. Touch. That's why all measurements were in terms of touch only. Foot. Like that. Foot is a measurement because foot is what you measure by touch. That's why, what about sun? Sun you cannot measure, you cannot touch the sun. So sun is not the object just the same way as the flower is an object. There is a difference between sun as an object and flower as an object. Flower is something you can touch and you feel it is very solid. There is a tangible, there is a solidity to it, which is not there to sun. So, like that. But then, if you understand better, the solidity to it is very skin deep. I mean, very superficial solidity. If you know better, you can understand that there is no solidity to it. It is an empty space. It is all space only. How much space? The other day I was reading, it is 99.99999%+ space. That is what he writes. But whatever you call solidity, it is the sense of touch. It is the sensation. You never touch the flower. There is nothing to touch there. It is a space. The touch is the sense of touch. The sense of touch is nothing but a reaction of van der Waals forces, etc. So a gentleman called van der Waal, he told it, there is nothing solid or anything by it. It is all forces, attraction, repulsion between protons and electrons. So that you feel as the sense of touch. So what you call flower is after all not so tangible or not so solid as you imagine it to be. It is indeed an idea. Flower is an idea created by the sense of touch. You first sense the sense of touch and then come out with the idea of a flower by habit. That is called vasana or samskara, whatever you call it. Therefore, it is the mind which is the storehouse of all these vasanas and samskaras. It is blossoming. It is expanding to create a world of my own. Just the same thing in the case of the creator, Prajapati. And then, Ratriyagame. That's why, because it is a manifestation of Prajapati's sleep state, that's why when he sleeps, it all goes and resolves in his sleep. Suppose it is not a manifestation of his sleep state, then he sleeps and it will remain separate from him. But it won't remain like that. It goes in and resolves. You may wonder, what happens if I sleep? When I sleep, my little world goes and resolves in myself. That's why in Brihadaranyaka, Jyotir Brahmanam, the sleep state is described as yatra mata amata bhavati, yatra pita apita bhavati, yatra vedaha aveda bhavati, like that. So, the mata is no more, mother is no more mother, father is no more father, scriptures are no more scriptures. The idea is, the overall distinctions, the vyaktis, matru vyakti, pitru vyakti, scripture vyakti, so all these distinctions are items which are supposed to be different from each other, they all go and resolve in oneself. Therefore, we have to look at ourselves like that. This is the way we have to visualize ourselves. We should not look at ourselves as body-mind identified persons living in a huge world, overwhelming world, and so getting dragged by the events, etc. That kind of an understanding, a vision, it is not even a vision, a thinking about oneself is ignorance. That is not correct. We should not think like that about ourselves. I have to think about myself not as a body, not as flesh and bones, born then, going to die, birth, death. We should not look at ourselves like that. I am old now, retire, are about to retire, just waiting for the insurance to mature so that I can retire. So all that is okay, but we should not look at ourselves like that. Then how should I look at myself? I prefer to look at myself like this. I am the spacious consciousness. I am the space-like consciousness. Yomavat yapta dehaya. I am space-like being, space-like consciousness. Even when you look at yourself like that, there is a samadhi, I tell you. My God. Very big thing it is. I look at myself, so I am a Swami coming from India, already ready to go back to India. Poor Swami struggled here and then he will go and struggle there. So, and this flight, jet lag will be, what is that? All those things will be there. So already 6 months age is over and going closer to that kind of vision should not be there. Then what is it? I am the space-like being. So in myself, Newark Airport is in my being and Hyderabad Airport is also in my being only. Everything is in space-like consciousness. Space-like consciousness. I am that. Everything is in it. I am the space-like being. One should look at oneself like that. And you try it and see what happens. Right? Your understanding of yourself goes up leaps and bounds, I tell you. The deha-buddhi, as long as this deha-buddhi is there, it is not even a buddhi. Deha-buddhi is there. You don't move one notch up like that. So we get bound to the ground, no growth at all. Therefore, I am the yomavat vyapta dehaya. So that is what I am. Atma is also vyomavata, space-like consciousness. And some things happen, some unhappy event happens. That event, it is neither me nor mine. I am the space-like consciousness and therefore I hold that event in my space-like knowing. I hold it. I am conscious of the event. That's it. I'm conscious of nothing more, nothing less. I'm conscious of the event. The questions happen. I'm conscious of the question. Then answers happen. I'm conscious of the answer. In between there is a time gap. I'm conscious of the time. And then answer also happened. Now I'm conscious of that content, which is an appearance, which is not even real. Therefore, it is as if nothing ever happened. That is how it is. Childhood happened. High school happened. Now when I look at it, it is as if nothing ever happened. Similarly, everything. So we have to look at ourselves as the space-like consciousness in which the entire universe shines. Known, they are known. Known are known only because I am conscious of them as such. Unknown are unknown only because I am conscious of them as such. Then what am I? I am the consciousness, or even the source of the manifest consciousness, which is transcends all the opposites. Anyadeva tad viditat, utho aviditat adhi, adhi, transcending, that is what I am. Therefore, even for a minute, we should not look at ourselves as the physical entities. You are not a physical entity. You are space-like consciousness. You have to look at yourself like that. You should never look at yourself as a physical entity. So anyway, that's why the whole universe, the whole world in which I live, it emerges out of myself and it goes back into myself. So that it is not even something you have to imagine. It is the truth. Only thing is, we should have that subtle approach that one has to explore and develop that subtle vision. And then you understand your true nature, in which there is freedom. There is so much total freedom. The events of the world, they don't bind you anymore. Because they are nothing more than events happening, appear to happen in the space-like consciousness. Everything happens in the space. Happens and unhappens. Space is space. just the same. Before the events, the same. After the events, same. Space, weather, good weather, bad weather. Space, as if nothing ever happened. The hurricane happens in the ocean. The hurricane settles down and the ocean is calm. It is as if nothing ever happened. The ocean is ocean. The space is space. I am that space-like consciousness, Atma. That way we have to understand. Anyway, so here the lokas, the Brahma loka, then Maharloka, Janoloka, Tapoloka, all these lokas, how they manifested from Brahmaji, and then how they go back into the Creator, that, all that is described. I tried to make a connection with our own daily experience, because that is how it is always described. Okay. Ratriyagame praliyante. Praliyante means just they resolve into the seed state. Nothing disappearing only. Nothing gets, there is no birth and there is no death. That's why we use the word manifest resolution. Manifest means, so nothing is newly born. Resolving means nothing has ever died. There is neither birth nor death. You see, this birth and death are there in our life only because we are committed to forms. That form buddhi. So a form, a rupa or akara. So a thing which has a form is real. That is the buddhi. Now for that buddhi, what else will be there? Only birth and death will be there. Because the forms are impermanent. A form is born, another form is gone. A child was born, and a man has died. So birth, death. What birth, what death, bhai? There is neither birth nor death. They are just events in the course of time. And time itself is a category that shines in the space-like consciousness, space-time. They come to light in the space-like consciousness. And in the space-like consciousness upholds the categories of space-time. And in that space-time, so there are events. And so a child is born and a man has died. That is their reality. Means there is no reality to all that. All appearances. On the cinema screen, In fact, I tell you, all family drama cinemas of yesteryears, they all begin with the birth of a child. And the child grows and becomes a hero. And so many things happen. And they now, Subham, the picture is over. 2.5 hours, the money's worth we have already got. And so the picture is over. All the lights come on. Now what happened and what did not happen? It is as if nothing ever happened. The hero was born and grown and did this, did that, and all those things are done. It is as if nothing ever happened. In fact, I tell you, the villain in this family dramas of yesteryears, the villain, he proves that nothing ever happened, really. How he proves, you know? He was really villainous, very cruel, and very, very callous till the last minute. On the last minute, he becomes repentant. At once he becomes crystal clean and says, I make all mistakes, please forgive me. And then the hero and another elderly person who says to the hero, sir, you have to now forgive him. The hero looks up and down and says, yes, I forgive you. So it is all forgiven. And now there is a group photo over. And when you look that group photo, Shubham comes. Now anything happened there? Did anything happen? Bad things, did they happen? And did the hero do something to neutralize all those bad things and then good things happened? Did anything happen there? Nothing happened. It is as if nothing ever happened. You need not even put as if. It is nothing ever happened. The appearances are like that. Anyway, so this is how the Srishti and Pralaya are happening. Here Shankara, he gave a very beautiful avatarika to the next verse. Let us say that verse. Bhutagramasya evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratriyagame vashapartha ప్రభవత్యహరాగమే. సో వై ఆర్ యూ డిస్క్రైబింగ్ ఆల్ దిస్? యూ సే దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్ అన్రియల్, దిస్ అండ్ దాట్ ఆ మిథ్యా అండ్ ఆల్ దాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ట్రూ. సో వై ఆర్ యూ డిస్క్రైబింగ్? సీ, హీర్ ఈజ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ కాట్ ఇన్ ది ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ టైమ్. సో వన్స్ ఐఎమ్ కాట్ ఇన్ ది ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ టైమ్, ఫర్ మీ ది పాస్ట్ వాజ్ రియల్ అండ్ ఈజ్ రియల్, ద ఫ్యూచర్ విల్ బి రియల్ అండ్ ఈజ్ రియల్, అండ్ ది ప్రెసెంట్, పూర్ ప్రెసెంట్ శాండ్విచ్డ్ బిట్వీన్ ది పాస్ట్ అండ్ ఫ్యూచర్. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ హౌ వీఆర్ కాట్ ఇన్ ది ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ టైమ్. సో నౌ ఇన్ ది ఫ్లో ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఈవెంట్స్ ఆర్ హ్యాపెనింగ్, సో దేర్ మస్ట్ బి సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎ కాజ్ ఎఫెక్ట్ రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ది ఈవెంట్స్. సో ఇస్ దేర్ ఎ కాజ్ ఎఫెక్ట్ రిలేషన్షిప్ ఇన్ దిస్ అపియరెన్స్ ఆర్ నాట్? దట్ ఈస్ ది క్వశ్చన్. నౌ ఐ ఆస్క్ యూ సిమిలర్ క్వశ్చన్. దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ మూవీ. ఇన్ దిస్ మూవీ లెట్ అస్ సే ది ఎంటైర్ మూవీ హ్యాజ్ సమ్ క్లియర్లీ డిస్టింగ్విషబుల్ ఈవెంట్స్. సే ఎ డజన్ ఈవెంట్స్ ఆర్ దేర్. ఎ డజన్ ఈవెంట్స్ పుట్ టుగెదర్ ఇట్ బికమ్స్ ఎ మూవీ. ఓకే, నౌ బిట్వీన్ దీస్ డజన్ ఈవెంట్స్ ఈజ్ దేర్ ఎ కాజ్ ఎఫెక్ట్ రిలేషన్షిప్ ఆర్ నాట్? దేర్ ఈజ్. దేర్ ఈజ్. సమ్టైమ్స్ దిస్ ప్రాజెక్టర్ ఫెలో హీజ్ సపోజ్ హీ ఈజ్ స్లీపింగ్, నౌ వాట్ హీ డస్ యూనో, ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ కనెక్టింగ్ దీస్ ఫ్రేమ్స్ కరెక్ట్లీ, దేర్ విల్ బి 3, 4, or 5 రీల్స్ విల్ బి దేర్. సో ఫస్ట్ రీల్, సెకండ్ నెంబర్స్ విల్ బి దేర్. సో హీ కనెక్టెడ్ ఫస్ట్ అండ్ దెన్ బై మిస్టేక్ హీ పుట్ ది థర్డ్. ఆల్రెడీ సెకండ్ షో హీజ్ ఆల్ ఫర్ హిమ్ దిస్ మూవీ హ్యాజ్ నో రిలవెన్స్. సో హీ కనెక్టెడ్ ది సెకండ్ అండ్ సో ఇన్ ది సెకండ్ దిస్ ఘటోత్కచా కేమ్ అండ్ స్టార్టెడ్ డూయింగ్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్స్ టు ది మహాభారత వార్ అండ్ ఘటోత్కచా ఈజ్ విన్నింగ్. Now the second unit is over and then Ghatotkata is born to Hidimba. So like that it happened. That means what? He has put the frames wrongly. So first frame, second frame should have come, but third has come. Then second came. Then immediately there is a huge uproar from the audience. Oh, like that, the entire audience. So 200-300 people in a touring talkies of a village. So they cannot accept this kind of there must be some kind of a correlation between events. What is this? There is an uproar. Then huge noise, this and that. Then immediately the movie stops and all the lights come on and the manager comes and asks, what happened? What happened? Ghatotkacha came and then now he is born. Earlier he came and died and now he is born. In Mayabazar picture. So oh, then manager, oh boy, mistake. Okay, no problem. Please all sit down. And he goes and he reorganizes and he puts. And then we say, now this is correct. Now this works all right. So within that appearance, the events must be in an orderly way. This is what is called akruta abhyagama kruta vipranasha pariharartham shankara. Suppose an event is there. And the earlier event, it doesn't lead to this event. Then suddenly, from thin air, this event came. How can you accept it? You cannot accept it. Akruta abhyagama. An event which was not caused by the earlier events, it cannot happen suddenly from the thin air like that. And then another event happened. And so its natural consequence will be the corresponding event which follows, but nothing of that kind happens. This event happened and its natural consequence doesn't happen. It is as if this event happened and disappeared from the entire scene. That is called kruta vipranasha. So you cannot do that. Therefore, it is an appearance, but the appearance has a structure in it. As long as you are talking in terms of space and time, and then so long there is a plurality, there are objects, there are things, and these are interconnected, and the flow of time has a bearing upon the events, the sequence of the events. So for that reason, we are talking of a birth, death, etc. Because here is the person who takes the events to be real. And if as long as he takes them to be real, they should be logical, they should be rationalized. And in a rational way, these are all happening. So that gives us a space. And in that space, we will be able to examine the events more appropriately. And then eventually, you will come to the understanding that these appearances are not real. That is how the progress of the vision happens. Therefore, here the description of the time-bound process of the creation of a universe and its progress, its sustenance and its annihilation, that is described. Srushti leads to pralaya, a sthiti which leads to pralaya. In the case of an individual, birth. Therefore, there was an earlier life. And from that, this birth has happened. Why this individual is born as a human being? There was a lot of virtue in the earlier birth, whatever it was. And so human being. Now he grows. And so eventually dies. Having died to this body, having performed so many actions and acquired all the karma phalas in the form of vasanas, this individual, having died here, has to take birth elsewhere according to the karma phala. So this way the sequence have to be described. As long as we are in the framework of space-time, this sequence we describe. That is one. Then, another thing, why to describe this sequence? Bandha-moksha-shastra-pravutti-saphalya-pradarshanartham. Another reason. You see, there is a human being. He is in sorrow and strife. See, if you look at the lot of the human beings, we are the human beings, so our lot, then one thing is very clear. We were struggling as children. We were struggling. And what was the reason for struggle? Ambition and greed. And as young men, we were struggling. Ambition and greed. As middle-aged people, struggling. Ambition and greed. And as old people, still struggling. That is the problem. Still struggling. And still ambition and greed. So then in this again one person asks, what is wrong with the struggling? Are bhai, everything is wrong with the struggling. You ask, what is wrong with it? Because this ambition and greed, this is not any management seminar that we are doing here. This ambition and greed, what is the logic of it? So, ambition and greed means inside there is nothing, everything is outside. That is the logic of it. Being is worthless, only becoming is having worth. That is the logic of greed and ambition. There is violence in it. Violence means mental violence. Mental violence is there. There is a kind of a tearing apart oneself from one's self. That is what it is. And in the struggle to become, it is an endless process. And in that process, there is violence, breeding further violence, and then there is all negativity. And when I fail to gain the goal that I have, that the ambition I fail to gain, there is a strife, there is conflict, and comparison with some other person. Without comparing with another person, there is no struggle, there is no ambition. Always there is a comparison. And compare, and now I have to become. That is the ambition. And so struggle. And then strife, violence, mental. So this ambition and struggle is the mental violence. And then that expresses as physical and verbal violence. So this continues on and on. And then in this process of becoming, the person never grows. Because you do not grow in conflict and strife. You never grow like that. That's why no surprise, even at the age of 60, 70, 80, the person is a very worldly person. There is no growth at all. Because people do not grow in conflict and strife. People grow only in silence and peace. That is how it is. So when you see the utter falsehood of this so-called ambition and greed, you see, we have brought the environment to such a bad level because of the unquenchable thirst and greed of the human being, the entire earth is in danger now. And so that is another big issue. You can become a noble laureate based on that issue if you care. I mean, another becoming process. God bless, everything is good. I am not saying anything against a particular situation. But again, a becoming process. So, people never grow like that. In the process of becoming, and there is no growth at all. There is growth only when there is silence and peace. In struggle, nobody grows. So at one point, we should stop struggling. Even in the context of religion, it becomes a struggle. There is struggle to become something. You have to struggle. So even in the context of religion. So that means what? The worldliness, the struggle of the worldliness, we have imported it into the religion also. And coming to spirituality, the self-knowledge, as long as you struggle for self-knowledge, you won't get self-knowledge. Only when you stop struggling for self-knowledge, you will get it. Suppose you are struggling for getting sleep, will you get sleep? Like that. You don't struggle to get sleep. I am struggling to do meditation, but I am unable to do meditation, means you stop struggling, then only you will be able to do meditation. As long as you struggle, you cannot do meditation. Similarly, gaining the self is not an outcome of struggle and effort. Struggle, another name for struggle is effort. So, therefore, this struggle, this endless becoming, this greed, this ambition, the pain and strife coming out of that ambition, the jealousy, the comparison, this is the bandha. I saw the word bandha and I thought I will describe this bandha. So this is the bandha. How do you like it? Yeah, that is the bandha, bondage. We are in the grip of this thing that I have described. This is the bandha. Then moksha. So, bandha moksha. So, here is a shastra. It is called Atma Shastra or Brahma Vidya. Atma Vidya or Brahma Vidya. It comes and tells us that, arey bhai, don't struggle. Because you need not struggle. You need not become. As long as you struggle to become, you will never know your true nature, which is the fullness itself. In fact, you examine your entire effort of this becoming. It is worthless. Stop it. And understand your swarupa. This is called moksha shastra. Now, you tell me, is bandha real? The answer is no. If bandha is not real, moksha is also not real. But na bandho na muktaha, na shastram na vidya na guruhu. Like that there is a vakya. Na mumukshur na sadhakaha. This is Gaudapada Karika. That paradigm is the paradigm of timelessness. But the paradigm of timelessness one can reach, one will be able to appreciate, only after understanding the paradigm of time and space in which we are caught. First, please understand, when we are imprisoned in a prison, we have to first study the plan of the prison completely. The prison plan you should study thoroughly. And then from the study of the plan of the prison, the method of liberation emerges out of that study. That's why the bandha has to be described. In moksha there is nothing to describe. In any case, moksha, we make an effort to describe. The rishis say they give an expression to an indescribable, unnameable reality. They give an expression in a language. They make an effort to describe what is essentially indescribable. That's why they recognize, the rishis of the Upanishads, they clearly recognize the limitations of the words and the thought and say, so Shankara says in one place, Pratar bhajame manaso vachasam agamyam. Agamyam. So, therefore you have to prepare the individual for that higher paradigm. So, that's why there is a description of the bandha, as though it is real. And when there is a description of the bandha, then comes the description of the moksha, as though it is real. Moksha is relative. Moksha is not an absolute term. Moksha is liberation from bondage. So moksha is as real as bondage. If bondage is an appearance, moksha is also an appearance. And the shastra which describes moksha, it doesn't say, I am the shastra, I am real. It doesn't say that. It says, in fact, it is the glory of the Vedas, that they transcend their own mandates. It is not that Veda mandates something and then something other than Veda comes and talks about something which is other than Veda. No. Veda itself transcends its own mandate. One should be like that. We put a mandate and then when the other person is ripe for the higher thing, we transcend that. We just don't sit there only. Like that. Therefore, this is the way in which Bandha Moksha Shastra it operates. And that Shastra has a relevance. The relevance is, as long as you take the flow of time to be real and we are caught in it, the Shastra becomes relevant. That's why these descriptions have to be understood in that context. That is how Shankara presents. Then also he says, avidyadi klesha mula karmashayam avashacha avashaha bhutagramaha bhutva bhutva praliyate. So we experience death and then we experience birth and then death, again birth, again death. You take our life, so birth was there, death will be there, and we are not masters of that birth and this death. We do not have those things in our hands. So this is what is called avashaha. The person has had birth and he will die, but this birth and death, the most significant events in the person's life, they are not in his command. He was born by a higher power and he will die by the will of the higher power. He is avashaha. And then this happens again and again and again. Like the daily srishti, daily pralaya. So we wake up. So in waking up and going through the motions of the waking state, do we have any choice about it? It appears that we have some choice. But here we are talking of the choiceless situation. Avashaha. So do you have any choice in waking up? You don't have any choice. Once the sleep is broken and you are awake, you will try to linger for some more time. And then you wake up. Because why you wake up? You cannot but wake up. So come out. And then take a cup of coffee. Why you take a cup of coffee? I have a choice to take a cup of coffee. Therefore I am taking. So if you feel good about it, so continue to feel good. But I say like this, I don't have any choice. Unless I take that cup of coffee, I cannot function. Therefore, I take it. This is how I look at it. Now what are you going to do with me? That is how I am like that. Avashaha bhai, what choice you have? Avashaha. What all choices we have are within the overall choiceless state of bondage. It is like the choice of the person who is in the prison. What choice he has? Yeah, he has the choice to eat less soup or more soup. That is the choice he has. So is it a choice? Suppose he wants to eat lot more soup. He cannot. Suppose he says, I am fasting. I don't want to eat anything. The jailer will keep quiet for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Let him make him suffer. Okay, now his suffering has... Because what happens in this fasting, there is suffering only first 3 days. Afterwards, there will be no suffering. He will be just lying there, no suffering. Therefore, once he reaches this no suffering state, then he arrests him and puts him in a jail and puts glucose and breaks it. And once the glucose is given, the suffering again begins. So, what vashaha? There is no vashaha. We are avashaha. So this bhutagramaha avashaha. So Shankara is presenting it in the Tavatarika. Bhutagramaha. Bhutagramaha means the the collection of living beings. The word you see, bhuta gramaha. Gramaha is collection. Bhuta is a living being. Bhavati iti bhutam. The one which takes birth is called bhuta. And Mahatma used to quote this verse and say, bhuta means this, uttishthantu bhuta pishachaha. That bhuta. Means, add pishacha also to that. So, all these demons and spirits, so these are the bhutas. Where do you find all these bhutas? Grama, it is a village of bhutas. Bhuta grama, sampan. Let us play with the words sampan. Pan, you know, P-U-N, pan. So, a village of bhutas. What is the village of bhutas? Cremation ground. Or burial ground. Whatever. So, that means what? So the whole world is a burial ground? Yeah? That is what it is. Because, what is the specialty of the burial ground? Death and bhutas. That is what it is. All around there is death and these are all bhutas. And then, who is the adhyaksha of the burial ground? Rudra. Lord Rudra is the adhyaksha. He is called Shmishanavasi. Shmishanavasine Namaha. One of the 198 names. He is the adhyaksha, he is the chairman of the smishana, cremation ground. Who is that? Rudra. So when you look at the world as in the grip of death and all the living beings as bhutas, because bhuta gramaha, bhutva bhutva, again and again taking birth and dying and again taking birth, this is the bhuta grama. So there is one bhuta, a spirit. This spirit got married to another spirit. Spiritess. Spirit is married to spiritess. So this spirit and spiritess, they live together and a child spirit comes. So this is how the Bhutagrama grows. And Lord Rudra is the adhyaksha of the Bhutagrama. This is one description. Another description. We are all human beings having taken birth in the very lofty, very commendable life form, that is the human body. We have a lot of punya with us. And having taken birth and grown to an adult, we get married, give birth to the children, prolong the vamsha, this and that. And the Lord of all this universe, in which all human beings and lower life forms live, is the Lord Vishnu. Coin is obverse and reverse. The same Lord. Look at the world as life, and the individuals as humans, devatas, this and that. Then the adhyaksha is Vishnu. Look at the whole world as in the grip of death, burial ground. And then all the living beings are nothing more than spirits. Because a human being is what? He is a spirit only, finally in any case. So spirit means sukshma sharira. That is what we are. In any case, and then the lord of this collection, grama, is Shiva, Rudra, not Shiva, Rudra. Two descriptions. One description is for celebration, another description is for vairagya, Shankara. Ataha samsare vairagya pradarshanartham. This is the vairagya topic. That's why for vairagya people, Shiva, Bhasma. This is the Vairagya people. For celebration, Lord Vishnu. And Alankara Priyaha Vishnu. I am Alankara Priyaha, not Vishnu. But he this fellow is Alankara Priyaha. He says Vishnu is Alankara Priyaha. This is the celebration kind. It has its own glory. But then all glories are apart. Glory situation is different. But here we are talking of Vairagya. If you want vairagya, you should not glorify it. If you glorify it, what vairagya will be there? You will get more attached to it. Therefore, vairagya pradarshanartham, aha. So, bhota gramaha, bhota samudayaha, Shankara. So, the collection of all these life forms. Sthavara jangama lakshanaha, Shankara. So, some are the plants, some are birds, animals and humans, etc. So, plants and other life forms which do not move. They are sthavara and jangama. So, they are bhutva bhutva praliyate. In the earlier cycle, they were born and dead, and from the death, they the present cycle of birth and death is taken up. So it goes like that. What goes up comes down. What goes down comes up. Birth, death, birth, death. Bhutva, bhutva. Bhutva, bhutva means anekashaha bhutva ichartha, vipsa. Again and again, many a time, bhutva, bhutva. So when you wake up as an individual. And go to sleep, now the person is no more. Go into that source which includes all persons. And when you wake up, come out as a person. And there are so many other persons around, body identified persons. This is how the waking up and the nightfall, a sleep state of individuals, and also for Ishwara also the same situation is described. So when it is night, so avashaha. Here the jiva, the individual, is described as avashaha. Avashaha means Shankara, asvatantraha. There is no svatantriya, there is no freedom. Suppose I have freedom. Why shall I take birth in India in some corner? I would have taken birth in Texas in a rich person's home. I would have chosen that way. So, where is the choice? My choice doesn't work there. It seems to work in a few situations. Or it may work also. It all depends upon how you want to look at it. These things are like this. This is vivaksha. What is the intent? Kya bolna chahte hai? So what is it that you want to say? Accordingly you can say it. So in this context, avashaha, asvatantraha, because we want moksha. What is moksha? The transformation from the asvatantra to svatantra. That is the freedom. So you see, people, they love objects, names and forms. Sense objects and names and forms and sensations, that is what they love. That's why as long as we love or we desire the objects and sensations, etc., the bondage continues. The bondage won't go away. So we stop desiring all these things and the sensations, we are unattached to them. We gain vairagya towards the sensations and then the intense yearning or longing for freedom comes. That intense longing for freedom must be there in oneself. Then the moment he has that huge longing for freedom, then he is ready for freedom. This is called mumukshutvam. So of all qualities, mumukshutvam is the most difficult quality. That's why it is the fourth quality. That intense longing for freedom. Freedom from all shackles, all kinds of shackles. So, that is the purpose that one has to gain that. Therefore, suppose you want food or you want freedom. You ask this to a hungry person. Generally, a hungry person will say, what will I do with freedom? In fact, we have a proverb. Will freedom remove my hunger or what? Whereas food will remove my hunger. It doesn't matter, you put me in shackles, in chains, I will like to stay in these chains, but give me food. So, such a person is not eligible for freedom. He has to remain in the bondage. Whereas, a person who is ready to die for freedom, I will die but I want freedom. You see, once there was a Mahatma and a sadhaka, a student, a very devotee, he went to the Mahatma and sat, Mahatmaji, I want Ishvara Sakshatkara. I want to see God. Can you arrange it? He said, yes, I can arrange. Come and join. Bhajan is going on, some kirtan. You join it. And so he joined. And so one day is over and some bhiksha is taking and the second day is over, 1 week is over, 1 month is over, nothing is, he is not talking anything, the Mahatma. So this man went and asked, I came for Ishvara Sakshatkara, what happened to that? Okay, you wait, let me consult Ishvara and I will tell you. So he consulted Ishvara that night. Consulted means next day morning he called him. So he came, did you consult, sir? Yes, I consulted. So when will I get Ishvara Sakshatkara? There is one condition. Okay, what is the condition? I am ready for any condition. You tell me what is that. Ishvara will give darshan to you. Only thing is, after Ishvara gives a darshan, you will lose all happiness in life. You will not get any more happiness in life. You will live a wretched life of all suffering and affliction and sorrow. And then you will die a wretched death. And then you will go to hell. And live in hell forever. So, if you are willing for that, Ishvara is ready to give his sakshatkara to you. So, now you tell me. You decide, you think about it and you tell me. So, based on that I will organize it, no problem. Then this man said, again, now I am okay doing some simple life. So after Ishvara sakshatkara, I will lose all this? Yes. Okay, I will think about it. That's why we don't get Ishvara sakshatkara. That is. Suppose he said yes. For the sake of gaining truth, I am ready to walk into hell. I don't care for heaven. I will go to hell. If that is the condition I have to fulfill to gain truth, then I am ready for it. I am ready to sacrifice the finite to gain the infinite. It demands such a sacrifice. The infinite demands such a sacrifice. Are you ready for the sacrifice? If you are ready, then you are willing to get it. You are ready to get it. This is called mumukshutvam. That qualification. Very difficult it is. It is not called mumuksha. The longing for freedom. No. It is the status of an individual who has an intense longing for freedom. Means the entire individuality is in it. Generally, we approach in a fragmented way. So I am doing this and looking at it, that kind of fragmented, multitasking, fragmented way. No, it doesn't work. You as a person or as an individual, you are totally in it. Totally, 100% in it. I want it. Then only you are ready for mumukshutva. So, the love for freedom is very big thing it is. So, when it is not there, when we are not very keen about that freedom, then bhutva bhutva praliyate. So birth and death, the cycle will continue. So that intense vairagya, that is the second qualification, and mumukshutvam, fourth qualification. So to highlight these qualifications, this description is presented. This is how the sangati is explained by Shankara, the overall sangati of these verses. We'll continue it in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Krishnarpanamastu.
On behalf of Pooja Swamiji and the entire Gurukulam staff, we want to invite all